We continue our study of Acts today with the next episode in the life of Paul just after his conversion. We are in Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to back up a little bit and begin in the middle of verse 19. Acts chapter 9, verse 19. For several days, Paul was with the disciples in Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and set him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Last month, I got my gear buzz. I love gear, whether it's for fishing or car repair or a computer project. A few weeks ago, it was for our church backpack trip. On a bed at home, I laid out a sleeping bag and pad, a water filter, a flashlight, cooking utensils, and even a little star chart that went in my pack. On a table then in the gathering place, I set out the gear the group would carry, a stove and fuel bottle, a first aid kit, a saw, maps, and some paper towels and other stuff. I'd get a thrill just looking over equipment and supplies neatly arranged and ready to go. You may get that kind of feeling gearing up for other events. Pens and a notebook, maybe a calculator for the first day of school. Pillows and clothes and a new laptop for your first year at college. New shorts and a hydration pack for a long bike ride. Suitcases, I don't know, maybe with cameras, you don't need it anymore, but a digital camera maybe for a big vacation, fishing, golfing, running, scrapbooking, brewing, beer, whatever you call it, whatever you like to do, it feels good to gear up. Read between the lines in this text I just read from the second half of Acts 9, and you see that Saul geared up for his mission after his conversion. Although verse 20 gives the impression that he took off at a running start, immediately, we're told, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Sounds like he recovered from his shock and blindness, as we heard last week, and in a few days was out on the streets preaching Jesus, and that's all she wrote. At least it's all Luke wrote. For perspective, though, turn over to Galatians chapter 1 and read there what Saul himself told later about this time in his life. To explain the source of the gospel he preached, he insisted it was not his own invention or someone else's fabrication. As Brian taught in a sermon at the beginning of June, it was a direct revelation from Jesus. But Saul still needed time to process what Jesus showed him. So Galatians 1:17 mentions an interlude Luke skips over in Acts. After just a short time, several days, it says, at the end of verse 19, preaching there in Damascus, Saul went to the region of Arabia. As Brian explained, he didn't go to what we think of as Arabia, down into the Sinai Peninsula, the deserts of Saudi Arabia. What the Romans called Arabia was the kingdom of Nabatea, centered in what's now Syria and Jordan. Damascus itself was in present-day Syria. Saul went east and south just a bit, into the desert, maybe just a little ways, and among people of a different background and language. We don't know how long he stayed in Arabia before he returned to Damascus. But Galatians 1:18 tells us that it was 3 years after his conversion before he went to Jerusalem, and that 3 years isn't even covered there in Luke or mentioned. The only time frame Luke gives is verse 23, with Saul back in Damascus. After some time had passed, he says, persecution forced Paul to run for his life. Paul may have done some preaching in Arabia. 2 Corinthians 11:32 suggests he ruffled some feathers there. The Nabatean governor under the king of Nabatea, King Aretas, got involved in that plot to kill him in Damascus, sent people to help watch the gates there. But as the ancient church historian Bede points out, Paul himself never mentions preaching in Arabia. In Acts 26:20, Paul's own description of where he preached is first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout the countryside of Judea, and then also to the Gentiles. So the classic understanding of Paul's Arabian sojourn is that it was a retreat for reflection and preparation. He preached right off there in Damascus that Jesus was the Son of God. He learned that much from Ananias and the other disciples mentioned in verse 19. But to be able to do what we see him doing in verse 22, proving that Jesus was the Messiah, that took more time, more study, more preparation from the Lord. He had to gear up. The Greek word for proving Jesus was the Messiah is symbabazon, which means to knit together. It's proof by assembling evidence, like an attorney does in court or a scientist does through experiments. You knit together a demonstration of what you want to prove. Saul took passages from the Old Testament and assembled them to show other Jews how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. He preached then what he had knit together there in Damascus. But it took time to prepare it. Time for studying the Hebrew Bible, time to pray for direction, time to receive insight from the Lord, time to work it all out. Saul was gearing all that up in Arabia. In Eastern Orthodoxy, there's an ancient tradition of hermit monasticism, of monks who go off alone to be with God. They retreat from the world to pursue spiritual growth and wisdom. But from the start, beginning in the 3rd century with Saint Antony of Egypt, the purpose of hermits was not just to get away from the world and people. There's some of us who'd like to do that sometimes. But Antony spent long years, from age 18 to age 55, in withdrawal and solitude. But as Orthodox Bishop Callistus Ware puts it, it was a withdrawal in order to return. And so at the end of those long years, Antony opened the door of his cell and welcomed people and began to share with him what he had learned. Ware says, a monk must first withdraw and in silence learn the truth about himself and God. And then, after long and rigorous preparation, he can open the door of his cell. Antony and other Eastern monks were following Saul's model. He withdrew from his first preaching at Damascus so that he could spend time in solitude, prayer, and study in Arabia. And he returned as a stronger advocate for Jesus. Verse 23 says he became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews in Damascus, that is, the ones who didn't believe. Today, withdrawing or pausing a while to prepare, to gear up, is not real popular. Americans are people of action rather than quiet reflection. You don't think of quiet reflection when you think America. We're enticed by leaders who say what? They're going to get things done. We want our education and online and on the fly rather than going off even now for 4 years or more to study for a career. Colleges are chopping arts and humanities from their curricula because those subjects aren't a direct pipeline to a job. Yet Scripture shows us a Christian pattern that moves slower. Information and decisive action takes a back seat to quiet reflection and prayer. To learn and do the will of God, you must withdraw from activity. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. The apostles waited for the Spirit in the upper room. Saul went out into the desert. You and I need times of retreat, time away from smartphones and computer screens, time away from noise and activity, time to be with God. On my first sabbatical here a long time ago now, I discovered how important a retreat alone is to being a pastor. I realized I need to spend a week by myself every year to pray, study, and prepare for the year ahead. I'm going to do that again at the end of next month. Not all our retreats, though, need to be long and private. Week by week, we each need shorter, simple, spiritual sustenance through time away from the world right here in worship with God and His people. Each Sunday worship is a mini retreat, a micro desert experience, if you will, to gear up for the next week. We withdraw from work, from school, from worries at home, and we leave all that and come to sing and pray and study together so that we may know and understand ourselves and God better. Then we return to the world on Monday, or this week Tuesday, with something to share, some wisdom, some joy, some peace which we've found on that brief time away. Saul needed preparation, needed to gear up for another reason. He was going to face rough times. As I said, they plotted to kill him in Damascus. They watched the gates to keep him from getting away, and he only escaped in verse 25 by the desperate expedient of being lowered down the wall in a basket in the dark of night. Last week, we saw how Saul's life reversed drastically when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And this is just another example of that reversal. The persecutor became the persecuted. The man who wanted to arrest and kill Christians was now running for his own life. Without his heart geared up in the Lord, he might have quit right then. That dangling basket was only the first of many narrow escapes for Paul. Verse 26 tells us that when he got to Jerusalem, even the Christians were suspicious of him. And why not? Just a few years ago, he stood and cheered for those who murdered the first Christian martyr. And only the intercession of Barnabas got him accepted. But then Saul started trying to prove Jesus was the Messiah to the Hellenists, the very same people he had helped stone Stephen. And so verse 30 shows him escaping again, back to his own hometown, this time in Tarsus. Retreat and quiet with the Lord prepared Saul for those trials. Strength he gained in communion with Christ enabled him to stand up to those who opposed him. His gearing up carried him through not only attempts on his life, but through beatings, prison, shipwreck, and all the rest. And as he speaks of his source of his strength in 2 Corinthians 12:2, he refers back to a vision he had. He said, "I was caught up to the third heaven." That's the kind of spiritual experience that could only have happened in a time when he was away alone with the Lord. Christians have found strength in solitude with God through the ages. Mother Teresa is being canonized as a saint today in the Catholic Church because she wrestled alone in prayer with God and then went out into the streets of India to do what the Lord asked of her. Our friend Janet just shared online a quote from her saying, See how nature, trees, flowers, grass, grows in silence? The moon and the sun, how they move in silence? And so Mother Teresa says, we need silence to be able to touch souls. As her journals published a few years ago show, Mother Teresa's silent times were not easy for her. She was filled with doubts and darkness. But God sustained her through all those years so that she could love and care for the poor. You and I will have our own doubts, our own trials and tests and temptations. This year's election makes us wonder how to be Christians in this country. The needs of the world seem overwhelming. Our own problems, finding meaningful work, raising children, and staying sane when everything's going crazy around us, is overwhelming. To live and follow Jesus through it all, we need spiritual resources. We need to gear up. Just like Mother Teresa, it's not easy for us. In our gospel reading from Luke 14, as we talked to the kids about, Jesus said following him would cost us. And one large part of that cost is, just like I said to the kids, the practice time. The time getting away to gear up in the Lord, to pray, to study His Word, to listen for His voice. We may need, like Mother Teresa, to silently confess our doubts, fears, and sins, and seek God's gracious love and assurance. I invite you to gear up. The 30-minute per day retreat that it will take to join in the community Bible experience and read the New Testament in a couple of months is one way to do that. For right now, maybe if you need to get ready for that, 5 or 10 minutes of daily prayer and Bible reading might be a good start if 30 minutes seems impossible right now. Gear up for your own life and work for Jesus through time you spend with Him alone. Maybe you need a longer retreat, a whole day or a weekend. Find a way to make that happen. Like Saul, devote yourself to study and prayer with Jesus. Make it a solid habit, a part of your life, and it will keep you ready and equipped for His service. And remember that every Sunday worship gears you up. It's time to pray and be quiet, to learn the Word and enjoy the presence of Christ. You have a week ahead of you now. Job, family, finances, vacation, study, entertainment. All of it conspires a little or maybe a lot to distract you and take your faith away. Jesus just needs a little of your time to give it back. If you will include that time in the cost of following Him, then He will equip you with the love and joy and peace which come with following Him faithfully through the week. Let this time at His table right now be an opportunity for you to gear up. Jesus Christ is here with us, ready to be with you if you will only let yourself be with Him. Eat and drink in His grace in these sacraments, in these moments. Praise Christ your Savior now, and prepare yourself to praise Him all this week. Gear up. Amen.